Welcome to the IC Maidan podcast. We are so glad that you've chosen to listen online. If you would like to know more about who we are, why we exist, our service times and location, or how you can get involved, then check out our website at icmaidan.com. We hope you enjoy the message today.
All right, good evening. Welcome to IC Maidan. How are you guys? Good. I'm so happy you're here. This is the final installment of the Divine Direction series. This is week number 5, where we've been getting direction from God so we can reach the destination that He has for us, that we can reach the destiny that He has for each one of you. So I'm excited that you're here for this. Before I go on, though, I want to introduce you to some special guests we have with us. Can I ask the Chi Alpha team to stand up, please? This is a Chi Alpha. They're a campus ministry team from my home state of Alabama. They're with us for 1 month, and this morning they've been ministering to our kids here in IC Kids and IC Junior, and we're so happy to have these guys with us. Some of them have been here before in Maidan, and they loved it so much they couldn't wait to be back, so we're glad to have them back. And so they will be with us on the weekends ministering here at the church, and then during the week outside. Actually, tomorrow they're leaving with some of our team here and going to Samosir and work with a friend of ours, Pastor Effa, that ministers there. So it's going to be awesome having them around for a while. So don't treat them like strangers. They're not lost boules that have just wandered into the building. They are one of us. So just greet them and make them feel at home. Man, what about the social media blockout the last few days? Are you guys okay? Everyone okay? No one traumatized? Not too much stress and trauma and wondering what's been going on? I spent hours this week wondering, where is everybody? What are my team members eating for dinner? There's no photos of anything. I don't know what people are eating. I don't know where they are. It was traumatic. Maybe you had that feeling, like, what's going on? Maybe you thought it was just your own phone. For a moment, I thought my phone was broken. Like, what is wrong with this? Instagram doesn't work. Facebook doesn't work. I wanted to throw it across the room. And I feel bad for anyone who did that. And you threw your phone, and then you realize, no, it's everybody. And then your phone's broken. So, you know, maybe this week with the blockout, maybe you had the most productive week you have had in a while. Anyone feel like that? You're like, wow, without social media, I had hours left over at the end of the day. I read a book this week. Anyone read a book because you had so many hours left over? Or maybe you were just continuously checking your phone and like, is it back yet? Is it back yet? Is it back yet? And you just kept checking, scrolling, is Instagram, Facebook, what's nothing there, you know? It really made me think this week. And social media is just a small thing. You know, for some people, it can be a problem, but not usually. But it made me think how easily something simple can control our lives. As humans, we are, it is easy for us to be controlled. We are easily enslaved by things. Something as simple as social media can take over our lives. And after just a few years, we become so dependent on it. And then when it goes out, we're like, oh my gosh, now what am I going to do? And it can be stressful and it can cause problems. Maybe for you, social media isn't the thing that tries to control you or tries to enslave you. But I know that every single one of you in this room, whatever it is that tries to control your life, you know what that thing is. Maybe it's pornography. Every week we have people coming in here and they're saying, man, I'm struggling with this thing, and it's trying to control my life, and I can't get free. I want to be free, but I keep going back to my device and opening it up, and I end up in the same place that I don't want to be again, and there it is. Maybe that's what's controlling you. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe something that maybe it just started with a toast at a wedding, or maybe your family doesn't mind having a drink for dinner, but for you, it's 2 drinks or 3 drinks, and you find yourself constantly getting drunk, leading you into sin, because the Bible's clear that drunkenness is sin. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's sexual sin. Maybe you keep going to the massage place that you know goes too far. You know you shouldn't be going there, but there you are again. Maybe it's having sex with someone that you're not married to. It's not your husband. It's not your wife. things that try to control and try to trap us, things that try to enslave us and make us prisoner to it. You know, we just sometimes open the door and we want to see, I wonder what it's like in here. And you just step in for a moment and then the door shuts behind you and you feel like you're trapped in this thing. And I thought I was in control, but now I'm trapped. I thought I was going to be the master over this, but I'm the slave to it, and I don't know how to get back out. I talk to people that struggle with sin, and they just get stuck in it, and they want to be free, and they didn't know how to get back out. And there you find yourself, just trapped. Your freedom's gone. Your joy is gone. Your peace is gone. It starts robbing things away from your life. So easy for us to be enslaved. But I want to give you good news today that Jesus doesn't want to leave you like that. God loves you too much to leave you trapped in your sin, so he sent Jesus to rescue you from it. Maybe if you're sitting here and you've had this experience, if your heart isn't too numb to God's word, if your heart hasn't turned off the voice of the Holy Spirit, you've had that experience where maybe even sitting in church, you feel so uncomfortable and you feel like, I'm such a fake. I'm such a phony. Maybe you've had that experience where you've been terrified that the people sitting around you will know who you really are. I've been there before. That's a terrifying experience. You don't want to look anyone in the eyes because you're afraid someone can see right to your soul and realize, hey, that's not who you say you are. That's not what you say you believe. But Jesus wants to rescue you from that. He doesn't want you to be a prisoner any longer. We're talking about this again this week, this being set free, because it is so important. God told me, talk about it again this week. We talked a lot about freedom last week, but he said, we're not finished yet because my people aren't free yet. There's still some people who left and they're still bound up. There's some people that left last week and they're not free. So he told me to share about it again today. So I'm even going to use the same story of the man from Mark chapter 5. Maybe if you were here last week, you could relate with this man who was filled with impure spirits. He was living among the tombs. He was in misery and torment, tortured. Whatever was going on in his life, whatever sins, whatever impurity inside of him, it had separated him from society. He had let sin take him to a place that he was disconnected from anyone that could help him. Living among the tombs, not living in town with the people, living among the tombs. Just death around him. Darkness. A scary place. It stinks. Man, it stinks around dead things, right? That was his home. And I love the story that Jesus and his disciples got in a boat and went across the lake and went to that man. It doesn't matter what tombs you find yourself in or where you've taken yourself, Jesus will come right to that place and reach out to rescue you. That's what happened to this man. And maybe you've had that feeling like he did, the torment and the desperation and the misery. And it says at night he was crying out and cutting himself. He couldn't stand it. He didn't want to live like that. You know that feeling when you are stuck in sin and you're saying, I don't want to live like this, but I don't know how to get out. That was this man, to the point where he's just cutting his own flesh. I'm in misery. I can't get out of this. Mark chapter 5, verse 6, it says, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him, and Jesus set him free. Man, that is the good news for every single one of us today, that God loves us so much that he sent Jesus to set us free. So we're finishing Divine Direction today, and the theme that we've looked at each week is, the decision we make today determines the stories that we tell tomorrow. And for this man, that's very evident, because that one decision he made in the midst of the torment, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the lostness, he made this decision to run and fall at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus set him free. And from that point on, his story was different. the decision that day changed his story forever. And he was telling a beautiful story after that. And I believe that every single one of you, I believe God has brought you here this evening because he has a beautiful story that he wants you to tell about your life. He's going to rescue you. He's going to do amazing things in your life. And that's your future. And that's your story. What you need to begin with, and I'm giving us 3 points today to end this series and give us another step on our right direction. You need a fresh start. You need a fresh start. We talked about a fresh start last week. Man, this is where it all begins. You have to be able to begin fresh. It is extremely important. You've got to humble yourself before God. You've got to do like this man did and fall at Jesus' feet. Not being proud, I don't need any help. My way is okay, I can do it. But falling on your face and saying, Jesus, I'm nothing without you. Jesus, I can't live this life without you. That's what that man did. John chapter 4, verse 6, we read it last week. It says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Opposes means actively resists or fights against. It means that if we are proud, if we act like we don't need God's help, if we act like we don't need Jesus to free us, then God is actively resisting you. He's actively fighting against you, and you're trying to move forward and go your own way, and God himself is going to stand in your way and not let you accomplish what you're wanting to do, not let you be successful, not let you have peace, not let you have joy. He is going to actively fight against you because he loves you so much. He loves us too much to just let us go our own way and destroy ourselves. So he will actively oppose you to rescue you from yourself. How many of you sometimes need to be rescued from yourself? That's me all the time. I don't normally have to pray, Jesus, save me from the devil. The devil's not really making that much of a problem in my life. I'm saying, Jesus, save me from Chris because he's an idiot. And he's trying to ruin my life. Save me from this guy. Save me from this flesh that I'm in. That's our prayer. And that's what God wants to do, is save you even from yourself. Man, the whole idea of opposing, another definition, to compete against. The whole idea that when we're trying to go our own way, especially as Christians, and we know this is right, but we're going to do this, and we still want God to bless us and everything work out. It's like we're in a competition against God. We can't win competitions against God. Who thinks you can win in a competition against God? We can't beat him at anything. And it's because he loves us so much, he will beat us. I don't mean like beat us. I mean like win against us, right? He will beat us. He will stop us. He will push you into a corner to try to keep you from walking in the way of destruction. He'll oppose you to try to save you. And he'll have his arms wrapped around you, and he's saying, quit swinging your arms, quit kicking your feet. I'm trying to keep you from destroying yourselves. Just surrender. Just let me save you. Just let me love you. Just let me set you free. I have a better story for you. I remember it was almost 24 years ago to this day. I mean, it was May of 1995 when I surrendered to Jesus. And had that moment of falling at his feet, that realization of, Jesus, I can't do anything without you. My life was a wreck. I was in the tombs. It was just death all around me. Death and failure, and I couldn't do anything right, and I fell at the feet of Jesus, and he rescued me and set me free. Man, for the first time in my life, I felt real freedom. I don't know if you've felt that before, but if you've ever felt real freedom, you don't ever go back to the tombs again. The joy I was given, the peace, the hope, the destiny, the purpose, the destination, the fact that at that point, for the first time ever, I knew which direction to go, all of that is right there for every single one of us. And God is saying, just surrender. Let me rescue you. Let me save you. Don't ever doubt God's love for you. Don't ever doubt how far God will go to rescue you and to save you. Don't ever doubt that Jesus won't get in a boat and go out to the tombs where you're hiding and say, come to me, I want to rescue you. We were talking this week with our staff a little bit about the story of the prodigal son that Jesus told. And I love this story. If you remember it, there's the son in the house that decides he wants all of his inheritance. And he basically curses his father, leaves the house, and he goes and spends all of his inheritance on sin and partying and just all this stuff that's leading him to destruction. And of course, there's people all around him while he's destroying himself, and they're all a part of the party until the money runs out, and then everyone leaves, and he's just left there all alone, and he has nothing. And he's desperate, and he's hungry, and he needs to find a job because there's nothing left, and all he can do is find a job feeding the pigs. And so there he is in the mud feeding pigs. And he's so hungry that the food he's giving to the pigs looks good to him. And he has the realization, I've been beat. My way was wrong. I lost this competition. My father was right. Everything I need, everything I want is back home at my father's house. I was never hungry at my father's house. I was always protected. I was always taken care of. Everything was there. And I tried to compete against my father. I tried to win in this competition, and here I am in the mud, and I've lost everything. And he decides, I'm going to go back to my father, and I'm going to fall at his feet. I'm going to humble myself and say, Father, I don't even deserve to be your son anymore. Just take me in as a servant. And if you remember the story, he starts walking up the path toward his father's house, and his father sees him. Because every day he has been watching for his son to come home. And when he sees him coming up the path, he runs out to him and wraps his arms around him and welcomes him back as a son. He doesn't ask him, where's the money? He doesn't ask him, where were you last night? He doesn't ask him, what did you spend all the money on? He just says, welcome home. I'm glad you've come back. And I want every single one of you to know that that is exactly how God welcomes you back home. He doesn't care where you were last night. He doesn't care what you did last week. He doesn't care what your tombs are. What he's saying is, just come back home and let me take care of you. Let me save you. So can I say to you this evening, on behalf of our Father in heaven, welcome home? Can I say to you this evening, on behalf of our Father in heaven, welcome to a fresh start? You don't have to live the way you've been living any longer. God has a better way. He has the best way for you. Once you have that fresh start, there's two other things you need I want to share with you tonight. The first one is you need to start small. Start small. Don't be afraid to start small. How many of you sometimes when you get excited, you just go over the top? Anyone? Sometimes that happens when me and Pastor Carrie go to eat and we're hungry. And the menu comes, and I'm not going to say which one of us, but one of us goes over the top, and it will be a table full of food. And then I say, who's joining us? And there's no one. It's like, this is all for us? That's not starting small. Starting small is an appetizer. It's like, hey, we'll take everything on this page and bring it now. You know, that feeling, maybe when you were saved and set free from sin and you're so excited about Jesus and you think, man, I just want to go to the other side of the world and serve Jesus for the rest of my life and die. That's a big leap. It's not a small step, right? There's small steps in our life. It doesn't have to be a giant leap. You can dream big, but don't miss the small steps. Don't miss the process along the way. Pastor Carrie told us 2 weeks ago to trust the process. Every single step is important. Sometimes we get excited and we want to get ahead of ourselves and jump way out. But God is happy with the small steps. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 10 says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Your God is happy just to see you begin the work. It's exciting. He rejoices. Hey, look at that step. Just like a father watching his son walk for the first time. That's how God is. He rejoices to see the work begin. Every small step you take, he's so excited. He's so proud to see you moving. But the process is important. The process is as important as the destiny. The process is as important as the destination. The journey matters every step of the way. Sometimes we want to save time. Sometimes we want to take shortcuts. Sometimes we just want to get to the thing way out there, and we miss so much along the way. I love going to Tarutung. Anyone ever been to Tarutung? I've driven myself there many times. I love it. 7 hours away. It's a long drive. Maybe you've had the thought, I wish we had an app on the phone that would teleport. We could teleport wherever we want to go. Just hit Tarutung and then shoo. You're in Tarutung, whoa, Salibkasi, I'm here. But one thing I love about going to Tarutung is I love the journey there. Man, there's a lot of beauty to see along the way. If you've ever made that drive, there's so much to see. There's so much beautiful scenery. All of these things that we're meant to see and we're meant to experience that we would miss if we just teleported way out into the future, straight to the destination. It's the same way in our life. There are so many things, so many experiences that you are meant to experience. So many things you are meant to deal with. So many small steps along the way. And every bit of it is creating you into who God wants you to be. It's in life, the process is where you grow. Man, that's where you have growth. It's where God develops you. Your character is developed. Your integrity. It's where you build faith. Every small step that you take and you realize, wait, I didn't fall. God was with me. And it gives you the faith to take the next small step and you don't fall again and God's with you. That's what grows your faith and you're able to keep stepping forward. The process is where you gain wisdom. You gain wisdom along the way. You learn so much that helps you make your next decisions. The process is what prepares you for your purpose. I'm so thankful that Pastor Kerry and I were able to take so many small steps to get right here. So many small steps. We didn't jump way out there. We never had the thought to even do that. It was just small steps along the way. Every small step, I appreciate every bit of it. I never planned to be pastoring a church in Maidon. That wasn't the plan in the beginning. But the small steps led me to this point. And I appreciate all the small steps. Maybe in the beginning when you're just getting your life right with God, maybe a good small step is, I want to be a godly husband and a godly father. Forget about, I want to be on a stage preaching to thousands. Live the gospel in front of the 3 or 4 people in your house. That's the right small step. Maybe it's going to church. You guys are here. Good job. Give yourselves a hand. You're at church. That's a step. I don't know how small it was for you. I don't know what your family background is or how far you live from here, but that's a step. Everything you do is a step. Everything is this learning to be faithful to God, this learning of obedience, this learning of discipline. God can't take us very far if we can't take ourselves down the street to church. I'm telling you guys that because you're here. We're talking about everyone that's not here. But there's steps, small steps along the way. Reading the Bible. It's hard to live what God wants us to be if we don't know what he says. Volunteering. I was thinking about Carrie and I volunteering in kids ministry for 7 years. And we were parents with small children. We didn't really volunteer because we wanted to go to church and be around small children. We were around small children all week long, our own small children. It wasn't because we had experience. It wasn't because we had some kind of passion necessarily. It's because there was a need in the kids ministry. And the children's pastor asked us, hey, would you help in kids ministry? So we said, yeah, of course we'll do that. We felt like all we had to offer was our time. We didn't know anything. We were new Christians, but we thought, hey, I can be there. I can learn to do something. We didn't look around for, wow, I want to volunteer. Where could I find something that I'm going to get the most out of? It wasn't about that. It was looking for, where can I give of myself? Where can I give of my time? And when you volunteer with that heart, when you take that small step to volunteer yourself, you're going to get something out of it. That was a small step when we first realized our call to ministry. We didn't imagine we weren't looking for that, but that small step in helping out where there was a need, God called us into ministry full time. I remember going on our first short-term mission trip, 10 days to El Salvador. That was a small step. We didn't in the beginning decide, hey, we'll move to Indonesia and live there for 16 years. We took a 10-day trip to El Salvador. And that small step, when we were in El Salvador, God spoke to us and said, this is what I want you to do for the rest of your life. Small steps. God will do so much in every small step you take along the way. Even planting this church, we started with a small group in our house, the first life group. I think we knew like 3 people. We knew God called us to plant the church, but we didn't know who was going to be in the church. We didn't even have a launch team. We had met 3 people, and they were going to bring a couple of friends, so we're like, great, there's going to be 3 to 5 people at our house. Carrie will cook, I'll prepare something. It was going to be awesome. It was a small step. Then from there, after 6 months, we had 30 people ready to launch a church. So we rented a studio at Cinema 20s. A small step. Then from there, we moved to Cambridge. Another small step. Next month, we'll start renovations at Lippo Plaza. Another small step. All the small steps matter. Every bit of it, building one on top of another. Man, it would have been ridiculous if we thought, God's called us to plant a church in Maidan. Let's rent some space at Lippo Plaza. And then 3 people come. That would be ridiculous, right? Could you imagine? We've got a big space at Lippo Plaza. It's me and Carrie and our kids and 3 other people. But the small steps, man, God will build something. He's preparing something. Maybe you feel like you've been taking some small steps. Trust in that process, because God is building something. And eventually you get somewhere and you look back and you think, man, those weren't small steps. From our small group in our house to Lippo Plaza is a giant leap. But it was small steps all along the way that brought us there. Back to our story, Mark chapter 5. I love reading about this guy and how excited he gets after he is set free. Man, he is ready to do something. He is excited. He is pumped up. And when Jesus is getting back in the boat and about to leave, the man runs to him and says, Jesus, I want to go with you. I want to be a part of your ministry team. Jesus, I want to be on your dream team. And Jesus tells him no. And that story sometimes is confusing, where you're thinking, that was not very Jesus-like. Why didn't Jesus say, get in the boat, come on with me? But he told him instead, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. I believe you're here this evening because God is telling you he wants you to start taking some small steps. You may already know what those small steps are. He may have already been speaking to you about those things, but this evening is just a reminder that you need to have a fresh start, and then you need to start small. Start moving forward. Start doing some things. Start pushing yourself. Dare to dream big, and don't be afraid to start small. I don't ever dream small. You could ask Pastor Carrie. You can ask our staff. I don't ever dream small. I like to dream big, scary dreams. I like to dream the kind of dreams that I have to ask Pastor Carrie, can I share this with the staff yet? And she says, no, not yet, because everyone will quit. You know, those kind of dreams. Big, scary. I dream big. I know where we're going to put our next 2 campuses after we move to Lippo Plaza. I've got a big dream. But I'm not afraid to just take small steps. Pastor Carrie and I have learned over 24 years to be patient, to wait for God to open doors. I don't push on doors. I don't beat on doors trying to push doors open. I just stand there ready, waiting, and when God opens a door, we run through it. That's how we live our life. That's what God has for every single one of us. He wants us to move forward. He wants us to dream big, and he wants us not to be afraid to start small. The last thing you need to know is you need to take the next step. And can I ask someone from the worship team to come up? You need to take the next step, and the next step is a step of faith. It's a step of faith. It's uncomfortable. It takes you out of your comfort zone. Maybe you're in a place where you're just comfortable where you are right now. This is comfortable. I like all the people around me. I like how things are going on in my life. And God is asking you to take a step. What's the next step? What's the step of faith in your life? Because it doesn't matter if you have just been rescued from the tombs or if you've been following Jesus for 10 or 15 years, there's always a next step. There's always a next step. You know when there's not a next step in your life? When you're dead. Anyone dead in here? Anyone dead? Some churches have dead people. Do we? No, I don't see any dead people. The only time there's not a next step, the only time, is when you've quit moving forward. That's the only time there's not a next step. The only time there's not a next step is when you have quit reaching out for your destination. You've quit reaching out for your destiny and you've gotten stuck. There's a next step for you. It's a step of faith. It's going to take you out of your comfort zone. I imagine when I think about this man in the story and he wants to get in the boat with Jesus and go with Jesus, and Jesus says, no, go tell your family and friends what I've done in your life. I believe you can relate to this guy that going and telling his friends and family what Jesus has done, that was a step of faith. That was scarier than getting in the boat. Probably it was easy for him. I've just been rescued. I've been set free. I just want to get in the boat with Jesus and leave Maidon and go away where no one knows my name and no one knows what I've done. That would be easy. The step of faith taking you out of your comfort zone was Jesus saying, hey, no, I want you to go back to where you came from and tell the people there that know you what I've done in your life. Go back and let people see the change in you. Go to those people that heard your screams from the tombs in desperation and go show them that I have set you free because of my mercy. That was a step of faith. That was taking him out of the comfort zone. That wasn't an easy thing to do. Those steps of faith are what builds your faith and prepares you for the bigger things ahead. I was thinking this week about this church and the step of faith to start that small group in the beginning. It was no less a step of faith later when we rented the space and went to Hermes. And then moving from Hermes to Cambridge. Do you know when we were signing the contract to move to Cambridge, we didn't have the money to pay for rent here? Have you ever signed a contract like that? Like as we're signing the contract, how much is this? Yeah, we don't really have that much. Let me put my sign here. You promised to pay, yes. Chris Duncan, how much was that again? No, I don't have that. I don't know how I'm going to pay that. It was a step of faith. We didn't have the budget for that. I talked to our team. There were no staff because we didn't have money to pay staff. I just talked to the team like, hey, we don't have any money. But here was the situation we were in. As a church meeting in the movie theater, we couldn't grow unless we moved. We couldn't grow unless we moved. And we couldn't afford to move unless we grew. Does that make any sense? That makes no sense. Have you ever gotten in a position like that in your life? We have to move to be able to grow, to be able to afford to move. So we can't afford to stay and we can't afford to move. When you get into a place like that in your life, you can recognize that God is asking you to take a step of faith because you're going to have to take a step even though you can't see where your foot's going to land. We had to take a step of faith. We stepped out there. I signed the contract. We started renovations. We took a step, and guess what? Our feet landed on concrete. God was there. We've never once been late paying our rent here. You could ask the management of Cambridge. We are probably the best tenants in the entire mall. We've never once been late. That first month when we moved in here, We were paying rent with petty cash. I can tell you, someone from the staff was up at the office. Duaribu, Umpatribu, Anamribu, Dalapanribu, Spuluribu. She was there for 2 days paying rent. Duaratus ribu, Duaratus dua. It took forever, but we had every bit of it. When you take a step of faith, God is not going to let you fall. When you take that step of faith, He is going to make sure your foot hits solid ground. And your faith is going to grow so big, the next step is not going to be harder. It's going to be easier. The dangerous thing is when you face that spot where you need to take a step of faith in your life and you don't do it, that's the danger. I've seen so many people in their life get to that point and they see that they need to take a step of faith and they lift their foot and start to do it and they get afraid and step back and get stuck there and don't go anywhere in their life. I've seen churches do the same thing when they're at that point where they can either decide this is all it is, this was the dream, maybe it wasn't as big as I thought it was, maybe I was wrong and God's vision wasn't for the entire city, it was just for this small group, and they settle or they take that step of faith. But I've seen churches step back out of fear and the church dies because a church without faith can't go anywhere. A church without faith for a bigger vision isn't going to move forward. It's not going to reach a city. So when we took that step of faith, man, God multiplied faith inside of us. When you take that step of faith in your life, whatever that next step is, man, your faith is going to grow. And it gets easier. Not because the steps get smaller, because they don't. But it's because your faith gets better. And the next step is so much easier. What is your next step? What is it that God is putting in your heart? What is the passion inside of you right now? What is the burden? What is He telling you? Here's what I need you to do. Here's the next step I need you to make. Here's that step of faith. Here's where I need you to get out of your comfort zone. Maybe it's going to your family and friends and saying, hey, I'm different. Jesus changed me. Like the man in the story. Maybe it's baptism. Some people yesterday made the big decision to be baptized. Man, we had such a good time. It was a big step. It was a step of faith. Maybe that's what God is speaking to you about. Hey, it's time to get baptized. Maybe He's wanting you next time we have Growth Track to join the Growth Track and get on the dream team here. Maybe He's leading you to start a prayer group with some friends and just gather together and pray. Maybe your next step is finding an accountability partner, someone that you can meet with and be open about and say, hey, man, here's what I'm struggling with and here's what's trying to control me. Would you help me? But whatever it is, there's a next step. Maybe it's forgiving someone. Maybe it's asking someone for forgiveness. Would you stand with me, please? I believe that God has a next step for every single one of us in this room today. And you don't have to be afraid to do it. You don't have to be afraid to step out in faith. As a matter of fact, one other scripture I had here from Psalm 37, it says, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in Him. He is going to make firm your steps. When you step out in faith, you are going to land on firm, solid ground. You're not going to fall. It says, though he may stumble, he will not fall. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. Let's close our eyes for a moment. Father, I'm just so thankful for your word this evening. Lord, I pray that these words have been encouragement and life and hope and peace for your people. Because I know, Lord, when I read your word this week and you were speaking to me about this message, it gave me so much hope and so much peace. Lord, it even increased my faith just preparing for this. Lord, I pray that for my friends this evening, that their faith would be increased. Lord, that no one would leave this place bound up or controlled by anything. Because our enemy has been defeated. We don't have to be controlled. We don't have to be enslaved. As a matter of fact, Jesus, we know that when we fall at your feet, that's the key to our freedom. And that room we find ourselves locked in, that we step into and the door closes and we find ourselves trapped and we're stuck in our sin. Once we've humbled ourselves and fallen at your feet, we realize that the door isn't locked. That all we have to do is come out and walk with you. Lord, help us to know what the small steps are. Help us not to miss the process. Help us to be able to enjoy the journey and enjoy every small step along the way. To trust the process so you can prepare us for our purpose. And Lord, I pray that everyone here today would have the courage and the strength to take that next step, whatever it is, to step out and trust you. Bless us, Lord God. Bless your people. Pour your favor out upon them, upon their children, upon their families. And Lord, send us out from this place as a light to this city, Lord, so that we can go to those who are in the tombs and tell them that there is a Lord who has come to rescue them, that there is Jesus who has come to set them free from their bondage. We love you, Lord. We pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.